Good morning, church family. It's so good to be a member of this big God's family. You know, when children are born and when house or family increases, so those children, they start speaking, then they start learning speaking. No one is surprised if they do not pronounce properly some words. So we too, as children in this big family, and we are thankful to the Lord for this great privilege and opportunity to be not only here today, but to be the members of His worldwide and universal family. I'm glad what I've heard today, that in this church, in our church, we do not derid or joke about those people who today expect Jesus coming. We do not joke over them. Why? Seventh-day Adventists experienced that. And in the middle of the 19th century, we know how it worked. Only in that time, it was predicted in the Bible that disappointment was predicted in Book of Revelation, 10th chapter. This disappointment today, it's also predicted, but in the prophecy of Jesus, 24th chapter of Matthew. And we know what it means. I have got this book recently. That's a book which was written by Harold Hampin. We are almost there. I read it 2 times. I wrote an answer to him and sent it. I don't know, was he able to read it till today or not, but after today, he will have enough time and he will read. Today is really judgment time for Mr. Campion. It's really judgment time. And for many people who rely upon man's understanding and conclusions rather than upon God's word. That will be the biggest problem for majority of people who are living upon this earth when Jesus will come, at that day when Jesus will come. I also want to show you the brochure. You know where I found this brochure? I found it on the Golden Bridge. Just 2 months ago, 2 friends of mine, they asked me to give them a tour. And we visited Golden Bridge. And on the Golden Bridge, I looked, and there was this booklet. I took it. It will be very good for me as a historical event to preach others' people. Because as soon as I've got this, I read it. And then as soon as I read this book, Mr. Campion, he touches also here Seventh-day Adventists. And he calls us also those churches which already God doesn't use. After today, Mr. Campion, he will know that God uses his church, continue using his church. And we should pray for him, for his adherents, for his followers, because there are many people, even in Russia, look on the internet, if you would read Russian. In Russia now, many people throughout all Russia and big cities, they dispersed or spread their billboards that Jesus is coming on 21st May. And it plays, I would say, very good and does very good job for those people who don't like Seventh-day Adventist message. Because they immediately refer to our origin and they say, Seventh-day Adventist already had predicted. We know it. We know who is standing behind all of this. We know. But our goal to pray for those people too. Because now they are saying that in Russia, many people, they just flow into the church, to the churches. You know why? They're afraid of the end of the world. Bible is saying that who is waiting for Jesus because of fear, he is not ready for his second coming. His church is not afraid of appearing her master. We, with gladness, wait for Jesus' second coming. Am I right? And today, that question is the most important question. Are we ready for Jesus Christ coming or not? Because many people who today they read, who today jokes, and I would say smile and laugh, they just show that they are not ready for Jesus coming. And as Spirit of Prophecy indicates, that those people who were also deriding also, deriding or smiling at Seventh-day Adventists, even we were not in that time Seventh-day Adventists. And if somebody is saying that Seventh-day Adventists predicted, it's wrong. Predicted second coming of Jesus Christ at the middle of the 19th century, there were Baptists, Methodists, and other representatives of other churches. And those people became Seventh-day Adventists only in 1963. So Seventh-day Adventists didn't expect Jesus Christ in 1844. Those were Protestants, believers, who believed that sanctuary, that's our earth, that because of that. But Bible is saying that they believed right as far as prophecies concerned, especially Daniel 8, 14. So today, our message, it's very great temptation for a Russian pastor to preach 25 minutes. Pastor Clark, it's big temptation for me. But I believe that God will help us. I'll try to do it quickly, and I'm asking please turn on our slide with our main slide. That's today is gonna be message of the city of refuge. We know from the Bible, and this is the greatest book, I'm studying the Bible for 35 years, and I'm finding every day, every time, new hidden treasures, which are not contradicting to what was already revealed, but just broadening it, just widening it, and helping to understand depth and heights of this great treasure, God's Word. So, City of Refuge. City of Refuge, it's written about this in 20th chapter of Joshua and in Numbers. But 20th chapter of Joshua, that's concised story or narrative about these six cities of refuge. I like it. I like this theme because it's all about God's church. And I'm also thankful to Mark, who today was talking about the house. And you've seen probably when he was showing the slide of his house, then on the left window, look, probably you didn't notice that, but I noticed that there was kind of a Palestine map on the left window of your house. Today we will see that again, and you will be marveled how it coincided. So, City of Refuge. I'll not read, please read that when you come home, back home, because we have no time to read that chapter. But in 20th chapter of Joshua, from 1 to 9, there is great story that God has instructed to Israelites to separate six refugee cities for all Israel. And Bible is saying in the ninth verse of that chapter that it was also designed and prepared for not Jewish people only, but for foreigners too. It means that this great truth is so vivid for us as God's plan for our salvation that no one can be indifferent when he began understanding what's going on and what Bible is saying over here. Cities in those ancient times, they usually were built on the top of the mountains. And five cities of refuge also were built on the top of the mountains. Besides one only city, because there was a plain area that was in the Reuben's territory. Today also, and especially here in the United States, people already, they are preparing for a refuge in case of some unexpected events. They are saying that next year is gonna be an apocalypse because of the Maya calendar and something like that. You know that, who is following all of that. And over here we can see that the weavers, such a firm, it's trying to prepare already those refugee centers because of impending apocalypse in 2012. And as we can see, that they want to hide themselves in case also of the natural disaster. Also, each 20,000 square feet shelter will cost about how much? $10 million. Can you imagine? Jesus is offering today for free, each of us, his city of refuge, his hiding place. But today you should pay $10 million for such a place. I found in the dictionary of Noah Webster 30 meanings of this word refuge. Look at those all meanings. I just underlined some of them or marked them with a red, I would say, color, because we have no time. Just look how it's interesting to look that ark also is a refuge, asylum, sanctuary, shelter, hiding place, and castle. All these 30 meanings of refuge, they correspond in some way to what Bible is saying, but especially those red ones, they correspond to this great truth from the Bible. When for the first time in my life I've seen a word refuge, which was written on the basement of the big building in our capital city, that's Western Ukraine, on the border with Romania, Chernivtsi, I thought it was a place for those disobedient children who were running away from their parents or from school. I was probably 8 years old when the first time I read that inscription. Later on, when I was growing up, I began to realize that those hideaway places were prepared for hiding people in case of war. In case of war, protecting them from bombing of the city. When I became a church minister and continued searching the scriptures, I found in the Bible that a first asylum was prepared by the creator of the universe after Lucifer had fallen into his sin. Look and notice this, it's very important that contrary to the earthly politicians, God didn't prepare the asylum in case of need. It wasn't prepared in case of need. It is before sin occurred. He had prepared the refuge because sin already had happened. It's very important to understand. I mean in the scope of universe, not our earth, because we know that sin originated before our earth was created. That was the main question. So it means that God immediately prepared an asylum or the asylum because he already foresaw it's gonna to happen. After Lucifer, he sinned. And you remember Bible is saying in 25th chapter of Matthew when Jesus was saying that the fire was prepared for whom? not for human beings. And Jesus is saying for devil and his angels. It means that from very beginning, when devil he had sinned, he didn't want to repent. And the spirit of prophecy explained that. So from that time, it already was pre-planned to judge him, to judge and to destroy, because he brought a discord into universe. So now such looks a contemporary Jerusalem, and those streets, many of you, I'm sure, were visiting Jerusalem. We had one privilege also to visit Jerusalem. It's great, I would say, event. As we were saying already, ancient cities usually were built on the mountains or on the hills. And those six cities of refuge, they, first of all, that word came, originated from Greek, from Hebrew language. And it meant, a word refuge comes from the Hebrew kalat, which means to contract, to draw, to take in, to receive. Hence the idea asylum or a refuge. And look briefly, these six cities which were designed by the Lord and their names. Kadesh, the name comes from the Hebrew kadash, to be holy, which means strengthened from, means to sanctify. From this, the noun kodesh, meaning holiness, is also derived. It's better to read over here. Shechem, the second city, it's also means from Hebrew Shechem, the shoulder. Thence it has the metaphorical meaning of government. You see, it's very, very important to know God knew what he was doing when he was placing those refugee or cities of refuge just in those cities. Hebron, this name comes from the verb chabar, means to join, to associate, to unite. Hence, Hebron, meaning fellowship, alliance. Bezer, this name is derived from the verb bazar, it means to restrain, to enclose, hence to fortify. The noun indicates a fortified place, that is a fortress. Ramoth in Gilead, that was also a very famous city during David, especially, and kings of Israel and Judah. From Ra, Ramoth, to be high or exalted. Ramoth is the plural name meaning heights, figuratively meaning sublime or unattainable things. And Golan, from the word Golan, circuit. Its location thought to be somewhat east of the Sea of Kinnereth. It's very, very interested, these names, because they explain the development of God's plan of salvation through his church upon this earth. And now look how these cities were situated in Israel, on that small territory. It's very interested that you see, that if you look on those all cities, their location, they were located by such a way that the refugee who was running to that city had almost the same distance from any spot on any geographical area of the Israel. Why, for what those cities were designed? As you can see here, it's very interesting. If you will draw a line, in English it's very good, it resembles a letter R. That's a refuge. It's very interesting. You can do that in Russian. So I preached this sermon in Russian, I couldn't find that. But as soon as I began developing this in English, God revealed me, that's very interesting. You see, that's a refuge. And history is saying that there were times when for many people, it was too late to run away. Here is a picture of Jewish people in Poland during the Second World War. And they were deceived by Nazis because they were sad and they were informed that just pack your suitcases and just get on train, take all your valuable things with yourself, and we will move you to another place. You will live better over there. But as soon as they were arriving, everything was confiscated, and many of them, they began realizing that they are going to be killed. It was too late over here. Can you imagine children, young children, people, ladies, everybody was struggling now for his own, what? Your own life. There are many, many such cases were in the history of the world. There were times when people were supposed to run without any delay. A Russian bombing of a Vietnamese village. Naked children were to run from their destroyed and burning houses. And many, as Bible is saying, shall run to and fro, Daniel 12:4. What does it mean for us? Each road which was leading to the city of refuge was to be free and kept in a perfect order. What does it mean for us? What it meant for those people? First of all, Bible is saying it was prepared by God in his plan of salvation, the refuge for a person who killed somebody unintentionally. That was an accidental sin. And God had prepared six cities for such people. For instance, they went to a forest and they were cutting woods. And the axe was just got out of the handle and struck his neighbor and he died. What to do? He was a main person in the house, for instance. He was feeding all his family. And they lived in that time, in the vengeance time. I lived in Caucasus area in Russia. They call it vendetta. You know what vendetta means. That's bloody avenge. That if you killed somebody of my family, your family member will be killed, or you yourself. It's very dangerous to start arguing with those people because the vendetta will follow you all your life. And today Russia has a problem because they started doing the war in Caucasus with those people who are living with this vendetta till now. And they are saying it's impossible to exterminate that. It's impossible because it's in blood and in the bones of those people. It's very dangerous. So God foresaw that, and he prepared a city of refuge for sinners, because those people who done that sin, who killed a person unintentionally, they were exposed to be rewarded for what they've done. And as soon as they've done that, they were supposed to run to the city of refuge. And roads which were leading to that city, they were supposed to be kept in free, I would say, perfect order. There was a special agency which worked clearing those roads that people can freely run. And nobody was allowed on those roads just to do something, some business, some caravans, and some other things. Those roads were supposed to be free. And when that killer was running to the city gates, they were stopping him. What are you doing? Who are you? He was saying, such and such. I killed a person unintentionally. And they were saying, enter in. And right after him, the avenger was following. They were asking, what are you doing? Who are you? He is saying, he killed my brother. Stop. You have no right to enter in. Until there is going to be what? There will be a decision and a court, and they will decide, was he unintentionally killing that person, or that was intentional? That was a judgment. And after that only, if they found that he wasn't guilty, They were saying, you have a right to live in this city until the death of the high priest. You have no right. You may, but if you will cross the city line, you will be killed by avenger. It meant that all of us as sinners, we have a refugee city in this world, God's church. And we are sinners unintentionally, because Adam and Eve, they sinned not intentionally. So God prepared an asylum for such people, for all humanity. And today we are suffering not because of our own sins. I would say we are dying, but we are dying because of the sin of Adam. And we can't change that before Jesus' second coming. So because of that, we are suffering, because we are born in a mortal body, and we can't change that. So it means that God has prepared for us a city of refuge, his church. And in this church, there is a high priest, and we should accept his death for us. And as soon as we came in under the roof of this shelter, God takes responsibility, and he is thinking, saying to the avenger, stop, you have no right to do your job over here. That's my territory. I'm protecting these people. But if these people will venture and cross the border of the city line or the city of refuge, avenger is over there. So that's why it's so important to be church member. That's why it's so important to accept God's law. That's as the United States. United States has become a country as a inviting, I would say, or giving a shelter to many refugees throughout the world. Many of us over here, we are also as a former refugees who came here for freedom. Me too. My family came here for freedom. And that's the asylum. That's asylum for those people who were oppressed in other countries. It's, to some extent symbolizes God's plan. And it's not in vain that today many people hate this country, because devil, he is at work, that avenger. And as soon as people cross the border, they're already under protection. And I like very much America. If somebody of its citizens is suffered in some countries, even one, all America, stirs up and began asking what's going on. Many other countries, if their citizens are dying, they pay no attention. So it's very important. In this case, it resembles city of refuge. In ancient Israel, those who fled to the city of refuge to escape the avenger's blood must for their own safety remain there until the death of the high priest, what we already were saying. A runner shouldn't stop. It was very dangerous to tarry or to delay. An avenger was ready to spot a delayed person and kill him if he will delay. And Bible is saying that they shall say, God's people, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. It means that we, church members, we shouldn't be a stumbling block for others, people who want to come to the church. So we must act, we must behave as Bible is saying, because if we won't, we will take responsibility in the final day of judgment when Jesus will come, that we put a stumbling block. We should keep clear God's way leading to the church. Briefly, I know what does it mean to get a refuge in the church. Here, as you can see, that's my family, and in the middle, that's biggest guy, that's me. It was in 1992, 3 months before, 50, I made myself too young. 1952, and it was taken, that picture, just 3 months before Dad passed away. And over here at this picture, you can see also me and my mom's, in my mom's arms, and to my brothers. And as you can see, that out of that all big, I would say, company of those gathered people, only five today are alive, and all of them Seventh-day Adventists. Only five of them are alive till today. My dad, he didn't accept the truth because he was illiterate. But his friends and his relatives, they will probably take responsibility on God's judgment because they influenced him, as history is saying that Miller was influenced by his friends too. We don't know, probably he accept the truth. And then my mom, she began raising us up, three of our child, our sons, and finally we became all of us three ministers, three pastors. That was God's plan. So, Bible is saying, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and what? And is saved. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. As you can see, that this concept of refuge is frequently spotted in the Bible. Our church also is what? Our church also is a refuge. And we today, 21st May, probably we were talking about community service, what we can do for others, people also as a church. So you can see that, first of all, in order to help others as a God's city refuge, as a church, we should answer three major questions: what, how, and when. And first of all, what? We learn to do well. Secondly, we should be ready to every good work. Second, how we do or should do all the glory of God, to the glory of God. Secondly, by love we should serve one another. Thirdly, let all things be done with charity, as the Bible is saying. And when? Bible is saying, ever. Follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That's city of refuge, our church. And Jesus is asking today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, what Jesus is saying? I'll give you rest. That's eternal God is our refuge. And Bible is saying in Isaiah 43:5, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Until the land has enjoyed its Sabbath, Bible is saying, all the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. Just briefly, why six, not seven? I was looking in the Bible for seventh city of refuge. I couldn't find it. You know why? Because it's in heaven. Yeah, that's in heaven. It's not upon this earth. And I was looking throughout all dictionaries, throughout all commentaries. I couldn't find an explanation why six. And just have my own opinion. Could be. It's not doctrine. It's not a doctrine. That's opinion. Could be. It stands for 6,000 years. Could be. Because Spirit of Prophecy eight times reminds about 6,000 years of our history. So Bible is saying that a highway will be there in the heaven, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. Who will go over here on that way to the city of refuge? Then he will travel in the heavenly courts, in heavenly kingdom, on that highway of holiness. And there is saying that unclean will not travel on it. And finally, look what spirit of prophecy is saying in the book, lift him up. When you begin to feel disappointed, look unto Jesus and commune with him. When you think your brethren misunderstand you, remember that Jesus, your elder brother, never makes a mistake. He will judge righteously. The words of Christ uttered in the great day of the feast have a wonderful meaning and power. He lifted up his voice and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We are not to be driven to Christ. It is our part to come, to make our own choice, and come to the fountain of life. Why should we not come to Christ? For in him our hope of eternal life is centered. As far as we came to Jesus, our names were written in glory in heavenly book, in the book of life. Now we want with my wife to sing one song, because we would not do it if Pastor Clark didn't announce it. So I see that probably the time is, oh, we have no time. We have time. Okay, it's voted. American system probably doesn't like Russian singers. But now we will adjust it too. First time I've heard this song in 1992. When I visited first time America. And as soon as I've heard it, I translated it, and we sang with Lydia a couple of times in Russia, in Russian. But today, we'll sing it in original language. I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. It was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. That the new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am saved forever, nevermore to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heaven opened and I found that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am saved forever, nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, all the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, And it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels in the story, a sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am saved forever. Nevermore to roam. Amen. We'll pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this great opportunity today to serve you and to your people. Please, dear Lord, accept our ministry today, our service, and bless all of us with your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.